This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Cowboy stuff earlier. Stephen Jones was on with the KMC Masterpiece. If you want to go back and listen to that, it happened at 1:20. He said in there, Tank Lawrence probably not this week, but sooner than later. That was maybe your biggest Cowboy storyline of the day so far as they get set for the Bengals a week from tonight. In Cincinnati, okay? Time now for...
No, here.
In AT&T Stadium. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Should be a big Monday night right here on your home of the Cowboys. Here's Eric Chia, follow up with a sports hodgepodge.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the Simpsons Monday night ESPN collaboration. Really, really fired up for that.
Fired up.
I did not know that plumbers call the day after Thanksgiving Brown Friday, and it's apparently their busiest day of the year. That's
clogged
news
up. A lot
to
of
me.
Clogged toilets.
Yeah, well, and clogged sinks, garbage disposals, all that kind of stuff, you know, because it is just, I mean, everybody's in a house and there is way more bodies than the house can handle. Pipes can't handle that. But I didn't realize that was their biggest day of the year. It makes plenty of sense, though.
Now, everybody knows with the garbage disposal, you get you an Allen wrench and there's a little port on the bottom of that. You can get rid of most of that stuff by yourself, but I learned that one the hard way after the $200 arrival fee.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I hate that. Yeah, yeah, we'll show up, and you'll pay me $200, and then we'll see what's up.
Yeah.
I think the funniest thing I saw on Black Friday, though, was a photo of a by-himself Urban Meyer at a local Ohio grocery store bar, I guess just prepping his body for the L that Michigan was going to hand his Buckeyes the next morning. Because the photo, like... He's just sitting at a grocery store bar. I don't even know how many grocery stores we have around here that actually have an actual bar. But on
the Whole Foods? Yeah, the Whole Foods got a good one.
Do they
Whole Foods
really?
In Addison, dude.
Wow. Yeah.
You can go in there and have yourself a time.
I'll be right back. Go ahead, girl.
Yeah. Just let me know at the checkout. But he was getting roasted for on a Friday, a Black Friday night. I don't know. Is that chill? Like you're just by yourself at the grocery store?
Was he getting ready for a big noon kickoff?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess that's how he preps his body night before a big broadcast.
He can't hang out in his own bar. He might get in trouble.
That is true.
You know,
by himself.
I'm not one to judge, you know, but I think once you're just kind of drinking by yourself, that might be a little bit of coping with the stresses of life. So I don't know, you know.
Maybe Mrs. Meyer told him to hit the road.
Yeah, it was like, hey, we've had enough of you.
Jack.
Well, I was with you all day on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Yeah. The least you can do is give me some solo time.
Some of these coaches,
go to that grocery store bar you like,
Some of these coaches' wives wonder why they're always kind of hanging around. Like, aren't you supposed to be at the office? Aren't you supposed to be doing something football related now?
Yeah.
They get so used to them not being there.
Is there a press conference that you need to be at?
Yeah.
Got my tennis lesson coming up here in a minute, honey.
That's right.
And my taekwondo.
Taekwondo. Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Jiu-jitsu, right? I loved the did you guys watch the Packers and the Dolphins and Jason Garrett was on the call alongside Tarico?
Yeah, so we didn't hear any of it, but we had it on the iPad during the postgame show.
He is not close to as good as this as he is in studio. In studio, I think Jason Garrett's a solid 8 out of 10, maybe 9 some games. That weather delay that he had a month or so ago was amazing work. This was bad.
Okay, so the play-by-play, he was not very good when it came to the on-broadcast. Well, that's kind of why he got removed in the first place and got put into the studio.
He was doing Notre Dame football for a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, for about 5 seconds.
They bleeped canned him pretty quick.
I think so.
Was he bad?
Yeah. I mean, he can't break plays down immediately. You know, he's really good at long-form thinking and explaining things.
Right. Mm.
But in the 20-second soundbite, he was just...
So Mike Tirico was like kind of waiting on him?
Yeah, or having to fill himself. I mean, it's not unlike Tom Brady, you know?
Do we have some of this?
Well, we have just a clip of him. This isn't him being a bad broadcaster, but this is him sharing a little bit of a story from when he beat Broadus's Packers in a Thanksgiving game.
Oh, let's go.
And he got the turkey leg. And what did you do, Jason Garrett, after you received that turkey leg?
The key question is, what happened to the turkey leg?
You know something? I had it in the freezer. It was in tinfoil.
For how long?
I probably had it for 15 years. And then we finally moved. And, you know, I called my wife the other day. I said, do we still have the turkey leg? She said, nah, it's long gone.
Hope not.
I think that was the 30-year anniversary. So it all the, oh, my gosh.
Dude. Do you guys keep keepsakes like that? I think I'm more, like, sentimental with that kind of stuff. I was going through some stuff because... we were unpacking boxes and whatnot that got moved out when we had the floors replaced. And I have my baby blanket still.
I do too. Yeah.
I have a beer can that I served Charles Barkley in like 1996. I don't know why. A Coors Light. He called me over and said, can you give me a Coors Light? And I kept bringing him Coors Lights. Just standing there waiting for him like I was his personal waiter.
Was that the night he threw somebody through a window?
No, that was a few years later.
Man, that's pretty amazing. Cool. I don't know if I don't think I have anything super cool like that. I do understand wanting to keep that turkey leg, but I probably wouldn't have been able to help myself. I would have eaten the whole thing. I'd just be saving the bone.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Like, I think it's just for memories. Like, that's his trophy.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. Probably got a couple bites out of it, but the rest you just save. Uh-huh. Save for later.
Keep got it in a cup of pee in the fridge. It's in the freezer, really.
Shit, a cup of pee?
It's been there for like 6-7 years.
Just
my girl got it from her homegirl. They was trying to come up with something. I had nothing to do with it. I might need this later type vibe. You know what I mean?
We're just saving
and it's still sitting in there. 7 years later, a cup of pee right there. As soon as you open the fridge, it's sitting right there in the corner. Medical-like.
I wonder if it would still hold up,
I don't know.
Get Let's that thing back to body temperature, and that'd be quite the Hail Mary. Yeah. But that would be fun to know. Like, what's the staying power for... clean pee.
Yeah, she needs some clean pee.
Chad Johnson might need it at some point.
Maybe
you roll an ankle. But yeah. Jason Garrett, that was quite the story there. 15 years in the freezer, and I guess from time to time you just go and pull that thing out and maybe tell stories about it with the grandkids. You'll never believe it, kids.
Can't believe it.
I mean, if it was a leg off like one of these turducken or whatever, then.
Oh, it was.
You know, like, okay, so that was a turducken kind of situation.
Yeah. Madden was rolling,
I mean, I still think Overshown should have been the one for the Cowboys.
I agree. He did get interviewed later on, but I'm with you. He should have been the guy.
Not that Micah wasn't deserving to be in the crew of people, but I felt like ultimately when you make a superhuman athlete play like Overshown did, you force the turnover and you score the touchdown. Sorry.
And he had a fumble recovery in the game, too?
Right, yeah.
It looks like he did it intentionally, you know? I know it wasn't, but the way that he reaches up and swats that thing into his path, it looked like a college kid playing against junior high schoolers.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is he's just wonderful. And they're obviously going to end up keeping Micah. And in the short term, like him and Micah together is kind of a cheat code.
Yeah.
If they're both going to be healthy, those two guys, just athletic freaks that can do so much for you. Pretty awesome cornerstones.
I think they're a great draft away. You know, they got to get some impact rookies next year. We could have some fun next year.
We have congratulations is in order for Tyreek Hill. Welcoming in child number 11 into the world.
Yeah. Dude. He's had 5 this year, hadn't he, or something like that?
I saw today. I wasn't sure.
Did you get butt-cracked on that?
I wasn't confident enough to run with the 5 in the last year because that feels just...
That feels like a lot.
That it feels might be true, like though. A lot. But I don't think it's far-fetched. I mean, over under 4.5 and... Maybe it is 5, but
I knew he was fast, but not that fast.
11 total, dude.
He's trying to catch up to Cromartie.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if he's had 5 this year, I think he got married this year. So it's.
That's an understanding woman. You hear me?
It really is, dude.
Wasn't he married like 2 or 3 years ago and they like filed for divorce and then changed their mind that afternoon?
Oh, it was
the house fire. When did that happen?
Yeah, that was this calendar year. In between baby 2 and 3, I think.
That's what she found out.
Yeah. A little Lisa Left Eye situation going on.
Yeah. Honestly, this is probably part of what it was because they did have recently. They just got married and they had like a weird filing for divorce thing and then they like denied it. This is probably her finding out that it was more than 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. 4 and 5 maybe made an appearance. But number 5 officially has, I guess, in the last year and 11 total there. So certainly congratulations to him. I thought the best bit of the weekend was Baylor football and what they did to the KU kicker. Putting up at McLean Stadium on the Jumbotron, it was a photo of AT&T Stadium windows with the sun shining through to just try to throw off the kicker.
It worked.
It was a pretty.
They really did that.
It was a gimme field goal. Yes. Shout out to Matt Mosley who went viral there from McLean Stadium.
He loves his Beller Bears.
He sure does.
Yeah, he does. But he had his sunglasses on, so those sun rays weren't affecting him.
He was ready. Yeah.
But that is a pretty good bit right there. Now, we also have just from a couple of NFL things, the Cardinals and the Vikings game was certainly fun. And those are two kind of right in the same tier of solid playoff type teams. But I don't think anybody believes in them to do anything from a championship standpoint. But you have the thing where their head coach, Jonathan Gannon, kind of screws them at the end of the game with going for a field goal to go up 6. Instead of going for a 4th and 5 to try and make this a 10-point lead with 2 minutes to go and putting the game away. And then, of course, so you go up 6, and then what does that mean for the Vikings? Oh, we got to go balls to the wall. Yep. We got to go for it on every 4th down here because we can't settle for 3 and tie the game.
Rather be up 3 than up 6.
Exactly. Because when teams are down 3 late in the game, they're a little bit more conservative with things because they know, oh, we can just kick a field goal and tie it and live for overtime or whatever. Yep. But when a team has to score a touchdown, now when it's 4th down, like they ended up having, Minnesota had a 4th down and they end up throwing a 12-yard pass to Justin Jefferson moving the chains because they knew we have to get a touchdown. And they did, and they make the extra point, and they end up winning the game. And so Jonathan Gannon now, he's been criticized quite a bit because he's had a couple of these decisions.
Gannon.
But they have a little graph of like how often teams go for it when they should. And
I think he goes for it the most, doesn't he? Was he one of those guys?
Jonathan Gannon is like bottom third in the league in terms of going for it when they should. Like you should actually, maybe if you have time, I know it might be challenging, if you could pull up that 4th down and 5 for the Cardinals late in the game, they end up kicking the field goal.
Challenging.
And
huh?
We've
gone there, right?
Just see what it is.
61, soon-to-be 1-year-old guy. Challenging today.
He's bottom.
I see what you're doing.
Kind of bottom in the
league. You're working that computer pretty good today, Brodus.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Buzz had your Ginkgo biloba.
I could do it. Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah, Brodus is a metric. But it's but Mike McCarthy, they have in the top 7 of coaches that go for it when they should. So that's just kind of an interesting deal. Jim Harbaugh of the Chargers is the least aggressive, I guess, in these situations. But the Cowboys are right up there. Seattle's number 1 with their new young, more forward-thinking head coach in Mike McDonald. But it was Jonathan Gannon who spit the bit there for his team. And then the Vikings are able to actually go get the victory. And then you had, on the flip side, you had the Colts head coach having an opportunity to tie the game with an extra point or go for 2 to win the game with 12 seconds left. And, of course, when you have Anthony Richardson, who led almost a 20-play, 80-yard drive, a game winner, and then he runs it in for the 2-point conversion and wins the game. And it's the perfect loss if you're New England because you're still like, we know we suck, but Drake May continues to impress. And that's a game where, okay, you're showing something, but you're not going to win it. You keep your draft pick and everything's good. Bryce Young also continuing to take steps in the right direction. Okay, late in the game, like 2:10 or something to go. It's a 4th and 5 for the Cardinals, and they settle for a field goal.
So it's 4th and 5. It's actually 5.2, but okay. On the Minnesota 22?
Yeah, Minnesota 22.
Fourth quarter.
It's supposed to be 4th quarter.
No, they went 4th and 4, or they had a 4th and 4 on the Minnesota 4.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's the one. There.
Okay. So it's fourth and four on. It's actually they said it was 5 yards. It should have been fourth and five. You're right. The coach's decision was field goal. They recommend go for it. 2.4% go for it. Result field goal. Go for it. It was 82.3 field goal. 79.9, and that's what it was. So it was. It actually was go for it by 2.4%.
There you go. And those numbers
you don't get
seem
it. They're
small,
inside their five. And they,
yeah. Wow. If you don't get it, they're backed up inside their own 5 yard line.
Yeah.
And they only need a field goal. But if they go down there and kick the field goal, you probably have time to even get the ball back and you go win the game.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Gannon had other plans, and those plans involved taking an L.
All righty.
There it is.
Thank you. There's a sports hodgepodge for you on a glorious Cowboys Monday here on 105.3 The Fan. And when we come back, little chuck wagon action. Zachary, what's cooking?
The OG weighs in on planting the flag. What's the future?
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Future of this college football coach, and which Mav has made the NBA 25 under 25 list. That's next.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for a little chuck wagon with Zach Wolchuk. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today. carsforkids.org. Here's Zach.
So the college football weekend, of course, it was rivalry weekend. It didn't disappoint. We had several amazing games. NC State, North Carolina, 35-30. NC State gets the win. There's a fight after that game. Michigan pulls off the incredible upset of Ohio State. They were the biggest favorite, I think, in the series history. And then here you have Michigan 13-10. They go to the Shoe. They get the win. There's a fight after it. Arizona State plants the fork in Arizona Stadium. There's a fight after it. Florida State. You got both coaches getting involved here. And then Mike Norvell comes over, throws away the Gator flag. There's a fight after that. So all the shenanigans, all the kerfuffles that were going on after this rivalry game. Well, who is kind of the trailblazer for this? They look at Baker Mayfield, right? Ohio State, Oklahoma, they go into the Shoe, do the Sooners, they beat the Buckeyes. And Baker plants the flag right in the middle of the O at midfield. So you got to get Baker Mayfield's opinion on what went down with all the flag planting at midfield. Here's Baker.
Many kind of consider you the OG when it comes to flag planting. What was your reaction to a lot of the flag planting we saw yesterday, and I guess maybe some of the pushback to that flag planting yesterday?
There were like four, weren't there?
There was a few.
You know, I'll say this. OU Texas does it every time they play. It's not anything special. You take your L and you move on. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Baker, would it be a mistake for the NCAA to outlaw that?
College football is meant to have rivalries. It's like the Big 12 banning the horns down signal. Just let the boys play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I do let have a couple of things. Number one, I think it was Chris Arnold who set the trend of planting the flag in sports. But you know, beyond that, I think the initiator was the first fight because these guys are home watching it on TV, right? And then they get fired up. It's like dudes at a boxing match. They watch people fight, and then on their way to the cars, there's like 27 fights.
That's when all the fights happen. As soon as the fight is over with.
Yeah.
No, I think you're absolutely right. They watch Ohio State and Michigan. They mm-hmm. get after it. And then after that, because the night before, Georgia Tech, which goes to 8 overtimes, an unbelievable game. I mean, some dubbed it the Meth Bowl because of both quarterbacks that were playing, Carson Beck and Haynes King. If you look up their pictures, hard to argue, but it was a legacy game.
You can't
game.
Draft those faces.
No, it's the arm sleeve that does it more than anything for me with Carson Beck. Carson Beck, you're not on my draft board.
And the missing
teeth. He's dating
teeth.
One of those sisters, right? The twins?
I think she might have moved on. Maybe she found something. Maybe she realized something weird, very methy going on. But I think he was dating a Cavender.
So the reason why Carson Beck is not on Wolchuk's draft board is because of the tattoo sleeve he has.
I don't think a quarterback.
He's on his throwing arm?
The quarterback with a tattoo sleeve on the throwing arm, it's not for me. He gives me Paxton Lynch
vibes. What if he
Lynch
goes
vibes.
With long sleeves on game day?
No.
doesn't make up for what's underneath. It's about what's inside.
Do I want a quarterback with the sleeves? I don't know.
It's for me even more than that. It's simply his face.
His face is bad.
He cannot be cannot be the face of your franchise.
Both of them. Yeah. If you look at Haynes Haynes,
not a guy you can rally around.
Longview zone, and he played unbelievably well. I was really hoping Georgia Tech would be able to pull off that upset. They didn't. Georgia pulls it off, but there was no fighting after that one. So it really was, you've got the start of the day.
It's crazy that Georgia didn't get involved in this at all.
Very surprising. Ohio
State. Big win for Kirby Smart.
Blows it, right? Here's Khalil Mullings after the game, who had 32 carries, 116, ends up being the catalyst for the big upset for Michigan. He gets interviewed by Fox Sports postgame.
It was for such a great game. You hate to see stuff like that after the game. You know, that's just bad for the sport, bad for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, some people gotta learn how to lose, man. You can't be fighting and stuff just because you lost a game. You know, all that fighting, we had 60 minutes, we had four quarters to do all that fighting. And now people want to talk and fight. That's wrong. You know, it's just bad for a game. Classless, in my opinion. You know, and people got to be better.
Amen.
I struggle with teachers. Bad for the game. You know, in hockey, they fight. In baseball, the brawls over the years have been fights. You know, I think fans would want the fights. I think fans want to see people fighting. You know, I don't think that's bad. Now, maybe the coaches don't like it because guys could get hurt. You know, maybe the sponsors don't like it. You know, but the fans do. Obviously, the players like fighting.
Yeah, there was. You got the pepper spray. You've got apparently they're
that was sprayed everybody too. Yeah, reporters. If you got a podcast, they sprayed podcasters.
Everybody was
refs
getting sprayed.
Got sprayed. Everybody got sprayed.
And that was the worst decision made on the night.
Yeah, we should. The pepper spray. What are we doing? There was people on both sides were bloodied and bruised. Apparently, it was an ugly scene.
That's how you bring people together, though. Yeah, remember last year we got pepper sprayed, bro. Right. Took me 30 minutes. Though.
We all got in that fight in high school and ended up being best buds.
Do you just worry about, I'm okay, like you're talking about the fights, you worry about guys swinging their helmets?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I would be worried about. Like you're in a crowd and you start swinging helmets, you know, and dudes don't have helmets on and stuff. And
but we love fighting. We love violence. All of our movies, all of our TV shows.
We do love fighting. But
right, but you don't want this after a big game.
But I would worry about dudes with helmets in hand swinging them.
There was he was getting interviewed on the field right when the fight was starting, and he strapped his helmet on, turned around, and got into the fight. It's like, good for him, put his helmet on.
Yeah, that's incredible TV.
No, it was very compelling. But still, I mean, big picture, like, not good for the sport.
What are you doing there?
You don't want this.
What's the most exciting thing of a hockey game?
The fights, right. But we're not trying to sit here and condoning fighting after a college football game with your rival. It's not a good look.
I think it'd be great if you clear everybody off the field and whoever wants to fight can fight. I get two shows for the price of one.
If we're picking your best versus my best three fighters, let's do that. I'm in on this 100%. But just it's a free for all, just a melee.
Get him some headgear.
Ryan Day is looking like, what happened? He's looking at his players. What happened? I'm just going to stand here in my bedazzled looking jeans, and I'm just going to have a completely lifeless look on my face. I don't know what's going on. Sark then runs and stops the 50-yard line deal that goes on.
A&M had security people at their
spot. Texas A&M, they didn't get into this.
As you get older, when a fight happens, you don't want to get involved, and you're no longer excited by it. You're experienced enough that you're just like, oh, people are fighting over there.
Oh, the Ryan Day thing?
Yeah.
No, you're the head coach of the football team. You got to do something here.
You can't
just stand there like you
can't. You got to be stoic. There's nothing you can do to corral 50 dudes.
Well, I don't know how Steve Sarkisian was able to do at the University of Texas. Blows my mind how he was able to stop his team from doing this and go to the 50-yard line and plant the flag. I don't know. It's crazy that a head coach can't get and we're just it's okay. It's okay that you have no control over your team. To me, that was a fireable offense.
Shut up!
And now the athletic director's like, Ryan Day, you're okay. Everything's going to be all right.
How do you go around to 40 people simultaneously?
How did Sark do it?
I don't know.
Because you're the head coach of a team. You should demand respect from your players, right?
It wasn't nearly as tense of a situation.
Texas A&M wasn't as tense as Ohio State and Michigan? First time they've played in over a decade?
No.
Oh, stop.
Maybe the build-up to the game was. Maybe the actual game was just intense. The fans were bringing the intensity, but it didn't teeter on the edge of violence. That was 2 hours in the making.
Because it was stopped by the coach who saw this coming and said, no, we're not doing this. Instead, Ryan Day just stands there with a blank stare, knows my job's done. I've lost to Michigan again, and just doesn't care.
Steve's coaching the football game. we're not going to get a bunch of penalties and be fighting for 4 hours, guys. Fight them in between the whistles.
Right, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
And Ryan Day proved.
But once the game is over, Steve's going to shake somebody's hand. If one of his Yahoo 20-somethings runs out there and grabs the flag, he can't teleport in front of that dude and say, hey, we're not about this at UT.
He's literally talking to the athletic director, goes off and runs his team down at the 50-yard line and says, get back, get back, get back. We're not doing this. That's a coach.
Yeah. Well, that's
what you should have done.
That's when the pre-fight is happening. The showdown is happening. Guys are doing the haka back and forth, right? So like, you want some, fight, you want some.
The head coach,
that's a time you step in. Once punches have been landed, it's over.
Oh, my gosh.
You can do nothing as a coach.
The head coach has got to do something. If my head coach is standing there and my players are fighting, to me, it just means you have zero respect. Nobody cares about you whatsoever, which is why he can't beat Michigan right now. And he's going to end up getting fired.
Yeah. I mean, he might not be that great of a coach.
I don't think he is, personally.
One of his former players, Tyreek Johnson, went on Twitter and said, y'all can say I'm hating or whatever y'all want, but I knew Coach Day was not the answer when we played in the national championship against Bama, and at halftime, he didn't say a word to the team, just went in the office and started to blame other coaches.
Yeah, it sounds on brand.
That's one perspective.
For Ryan Day here. I mean, the guy just didn't have a clue what the hell was going on. He's in the moment. I get it. You're stunned. Like, nobody thought that was going to happen. Michigan and Ohio State, the Michigan would come in and beat them. Ohio State's got, like, the most expensive team in the history of college football. They're supposedly the most talented team we've ever seen in our lives. Well, Kyle McCord, shout out to you, because he's now the quarterback at Syracuse. They go get the win. They're now 9-3. They upset Miami, and he was blamed for being the reason why they couldn't beat Michigan a year ago. Post game, he's like, it all comes full circle. Now, Syracuse has had one of their best years at 9-3 in school recently in school history. Ohio State, same thing. You lose to Michigan again. You're not playing in your conference championship game, and now you're limping on into the playoff, and we'll see who they play. We'll see what the draw is, but it can't – if Ohio State – doesn't show up and they lay an egg, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised. They just lost their season on Saturday.
They are going to get a home game.
That was brutal.
They're going to get a home game.
Yeah, they just played at home, didn't they, Brian?
No.
Against Michigan. How'd that go?
I'm not very good. I'm just going to say they're probably going to be favored in that home game.
I'm sure they will be, just like they were 29-point favorites against Michigan.
There's no doubt Ohio State's taking a big step back.
It's bad.
And there's no doubt that when Chief and Broadus go nose to nose in the build up to the draft over Ashton Jeanty. Mm-hmm. Well, the punches are thrown. I'm not stepping in. I'm not saying anything.
Right.
I'm kicking back, enjoying the show, and appreciating that my guys got some fight.
I'm going to punch you.
You know?
Is what I'm going to do.
I'll bring the pepper spray.
I'm punching you.
Throwing bugs out here.
I don't think you could hit me.
You might be too fast. You're good at dodging these things.
Dodging around.
Bad news for Texas Tech, though. Micah Hudson, who's the best recruit they've ever gotten in the school's history.
They don't throw him the ball.
They don't play him. And now he's saying, I'm going to the portal.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
First class ticket to the portal.
Yep. Five-star recruit, Micah Hudson's entering the portal. He did not play much this year. In fact, he had 8 catches for 123 yards. But he did have a lower leg injury this past month, so he wasn't really eligible to play. You've seen on the sidelines during the finale against West Virginia. But
it's pretty good YPC there.
Yeah,
eight grabs for $123.
He's a hell of a player. He's going to be really, really good for somebody. Tech also fired their defensive coordinator and their secondary coach, and it appears their offensive coordinator might be getting set to take a head coaching job at Florida Atlantic University. So a lot of changes there with that Texas Tech staff right now.
Mm.
Temple is also hiring Casey Keeler from Sam Houston.
We interviewed him. Remember that, Dawson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at Sam Houston. We interviewed him. He's a nice coach.
Yep,
he is. He's very nice coming on, talking about the championships.
One of the better young coaches in the sport right now, and Sam Houston's going to be looking for a new head coach because he's going to go take the job at Temple.
Did I see Gus Malzone was leaving Central Florida to go be the OC at
Florida State?
He is. That's been finalized. Florida State has announced that today, so Gus Malzone will be the offensive coordinator.
So they were going to fire him at Central Florida, likely?
Probably.
And he just jumped ahead of that?
He just went ahead and pulled at Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Just said, hey, I'm at. By the way, Chip Kelly, it's not looking good for him either. Yeah. Not at all. Bobby Petrino is generating interest from Charlotte. So he's the offensive coordinator right now at Arkansas.
Yeah.
He might end up taking that job, go be Charlotte's head coach. And Neil Brown's been fired at West Virginia.
Yeah, I talked to my buddy at West Virginia. He says that's a hard place. He goes, we can't win at this place.
Well, Jimbo Fisher's being rumored as maybe the guy that they turn to.
They're thinking that maybe that Jimbo will take a big discount because he's already got paid from A&M.
Dear God, the guy's got to have close to $150 million in the bank.
If I was Jimbo, I wouldn't be coaching. Yeah. I would just sit back and enjoy time.
These dudes, like I'm saying,
they don't have
the wife is thinking about spending all that money. She doesn't want him around anymore. He's been around for a year.
No, probably not.
Go back out there. Coach some more. Yeah.
The job that Sark's done with this rebuild at Texas, they go 5-7, 8-5, 12-2 last year, make the college football playoff, win the Big 12, and then year one in the SEC, they're now in the SEC championship game. Yeah. It is very, very impressive.
And that's how you know it's real. It took him time to build this. He didn't snap his finger and splash some cash and get a transfer window class. Yep. This is the building blocks. Pipeline.
Yep. And this is going to be fun in the SEC championship game. SMU and Clemson. And Cade Klubnik, quarterback for Clemson, Westlake High School, going up against Kevin Jennings, South Oak Cliff, SMU, two Texas kids quarterbacking their teams in the ACC championship game. Pony up. Hopefully they can get the victory there. And then finally here in the Chuck Wagon, NBA, under 25. ESPN has put out their list. We do have a Dallas Maverick, and it is Derek Lively at 20 years and 294 days old. He's number 19 on this list of the top 25 players under 25. You still have Zion on here, believe it or not, who just makes the cut at 24 years and 149 days. He's at 16. The top 10, you've got Sengun from the Rockets, Jalen Williams from the Thunder, who we all think I think is going to be awesome, Evan Mobley of the Cavs, Tyrese Maxey, local product with the Sixers.
Salute, guard.
Tyrese Halliburton as well, local product. Chet Holmgren, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero,
dude, Wagner,
Anthony Edwards, and then Wemby. And again, Wemby, I mean, what he just did last night was unbelievable. Yeah.
And Orlando, even though they lost Banchero, I know they got DFW's Anthony Black picking up a lot of those minutes. But dude, you know, that's a squad right there.
And Jalen Suggs too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's another young.
There's so much talent they've been stockpiling.
They have been. They have been loading up on that. So there's your Chuck Wagon.
Thank you, sir. You know, I was hanging out with the parents a lot over the last week or so. They came to town. It was amazing to get to reconnect with them for so long. And at one point, they asked me how work was going. I said, it's great. You know, my crew is awesome. They said, do you and Brian get along? And I was like, yeah, Brian and I love each other. We just spar on the air, you know. But I assume we're friends.
Yeah.
But after what you said to me a few minutes ago, Brian, I'm not sure.
I'm taking a swing
at you.
Yeah, I'm not, the most I'm friendly punch Eric. That's...
Because, see, if I feel like Eric would kill me.
Oh,
with you would avoid me, and then I would fall down. And
I'd go Ryan Day on you.
Yeah, exactly. No, right. Man, we're good. Hey, if your family's listening, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for them to ask you question.
I think maybe the Las Vegas video just made him wonder a little bit. That was the first time I've seen them since that Las Vegas video.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Oh, the Vegas video where he was wearing the big hat.
Yeah. And he was just talking mess about your gambling habits. Yes.
You guys getting after each other.
He's telling all my secrets.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we got to run, though. The Fan After Dark, you got Blake and Fred over there cooking in the bullpen, and they got 4 hours of great sports broadcasting coming up for you here next on the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Look at this Arizona coach knocking his head up against dude. Tell me he's bloody. Oh, I love that.
He is bloodied.
Yes. That's the best coaching bid out there, I think.
And they got crushed.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. They got crushed by Arizona State in this game.
Yeah, nothing he could do about it there, but at least he tried.
Oh, that's Chuck Cecil.
Yeah.
He used to play with us in Green Bay.
Is that right?
He was a safety, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck's, that was Chuck. He
might. That's CTE for you, boys.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
When I saw the face, I'm like, God, that's Chuck. Yeah, it's not good.
Does he have a screw loose, you think, in general?
A little bit,
He's got to.
Yeah.
He's going full Brian Cushing.
A little bit.
Okay, Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock. Chauncey Golston will be Brad's guest. And then after that, 8 to 11, you'll get the Fan After Dark with these two gentlemen, Blake and Fred. And a good evening, gents. How we doing?
Just blessed to get through Thanksgiving, be here with you guys. Y'all had a couple days off. We had to hold down the G-Bag Nation.
Did a good job.
It was actually a super fun time. We accidentally did What You Drinking, What You Thinking. I kind of said it accidentally, and the text lit up. We probably got over 300 texts of people telling us what they were drinking, tell us what they were
pretty
thinking.
Wild.
We had, what was it, Rumplements and OJ.
That's what really kickstarted it. That's what got the whole segment started was somebody mentioned they were going to drink Rumplements and OJ.
5:30 on a Friday, by the way.
So really, that's the life decision you're making on a Black Friday, and then it just...
Blackout Friday.
Ooh, it jumped off the page after that. What people, like I said, I mean, y'all got it down pat, but man.
That was fun.
No, it was.
It is fun. Yeah.
Really,
I don't know, a Rumplements in a chocolate milkshake? Where are we going with this? What would Rumpel Mitts pair with if you so chose, other than shooting it?
I had it in a bag when I was skiing.
I love it.
What was the other one we got, Fred? It was eggnog and Jägermeister.
Eggnog and Jägermeister. Then somebody else said Everclear and Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Yeah, be careful.
Hey, look, I'm telling you right now, it was off the chain on Friday. I mean, that final hour, just throwing caution. I guess people were, it was, game. The Chiefs-Raiders game had just ended. There was really no, I don't think there was really much college football on that day, on Friday afternoon. Most of the shopping had already been done. I think people were kind of just over their families at that point. So I was like, oh, you guys want to talk about getting crunk? Let's do it. That's exactly what happened.
Do you guys have a big drinking Thanksgiving with family? How's that go?
Not really. I mean, back in the day, maybe 5-6 years ago when all the fam, I haven't had a big Thanksgiving in a while. Me and Fred were kind of talking about 25.
Okay.
So I think when back I was like, day. Back in the day, I was like 20.
Six-year plan?
All the,
I mean, 16 when you
back when I was underage, you used to get crazy.
Back when all the family was there and you'd have a good big get together, you would do that. But I really haven't had that since. I think that's less to do about the drinking, more to do about the family not getting together anymore.
Yeah.
So
it's communal. Yeah. It always sounded fun. My family does, maybe like 2 glasses of wine, right? So in my drinking days, I would be on like beer 5 or 6, and I'd be like, crap, I got to slow down or get out of here, It's one or the other.
I think it's more fun with the family, too. When you see like mom and grandma also drinking a margarita, you're like, okay, take my guard off.
Absolutely. It's one of the few opportunities that you get, to sort of, get after it with the family. So you guys were at the game for Thanksgiving, though, right? Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
We realized we are washed. I mentioned this on Black Friday. I at least speak for myself. I'll use the same reference, Kevin Garnett in a Brooklyn Nets jersey. I made the promise that we'd eat a plate every quarter.
That's what I thought.
We tried.
A quarter and a half. We went for plate 2. Now, I will say we were going to get another plate, but they were putting away Thanksgiving.
They shut things down quick, number one. All right, so that was number one. But number two, and again, like we were talking about during the break, I don't know that the press box is really the place to gorge yourself. Okay, I mean, we are the flagship of the Dallas Cowboys.
You guys were eating the whole game.
Being professional. You're gorging yourself the entire time.
You got to remember, I sit next to this guy.
I look
over at him like between every play, like, what else is he going to eat?
I watched Fred pull a cookie out of his pocket in the press box a couple of weeks ago. We ate the first quarter. We ate the second quarter, and shout out to Susan because she scooped up the rest of the mac and cheese for Blake and I.
Yeah.
So we knocked all that out. And then third and fourth quarter.
It was curtains.
That was it.
It was popcorn.
You were tapped out at that point?
Done.
But because halftime was popcorn. Now you're going with chicken wings.
I switched to popcorn in a second.
He went to popcorn.
You're mailing it in at that point. That's how you know you are done.
You popcorn.
Any of those Tyson chicken nuggies?
No. I did 3 cookies and a cup of coffee in the second half. And that was it. And look, here's the thing too, and you guys know this. That first half, especially after eating heavy, boy, the eyelids got heavy in the second quarter.
Yeah.
All right.
It can be a problem.
Especially when you got Cooper Rush versus Drew Lock that's trying to keep you awake.
Longest second quarter of my life.
Dude, the final, I had so many people. We were at my parents' house and a good chunk of the family was planning on leaving at halftime. And it must have taken 45 minutes for that. Like, you think halftime's approaching. Yeah. It was the longest final 3 minutes that I can remember. Everybody's just like, well, I guess we're still
injuries,
waiting.
Injuries, timeouts.
Nobody stayed around and watched the...
Laney?
Whatever. Oh, I did. I
was parked and I watched it.
Little jelly
but
roll
did you
action.
Guys hear, though? Oh, okay, geez. So I did a deep dive onto this after finding out what this lady's all about.
Be careful.
Apparently...
They listen over there.
Apparently she slimmed down a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, no, the butt used to be big.
Yes!
She's married to Duck Hodges.
Duck Hodges.
Yeah. The quarterback.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
NFL.
That's amazing. I didn't know she was married to Doug Hodges.
From Louisiana.
But I do remember Laney bursting onto the scene because of the dump truck.
The cheetah pants.
Yeah, the cheetah pants. Yep.
I thought Jelly Roll was the star of the show, so I didn't even know Laney Wilson was performing. I didn't know who she was. Big Jelly Roll fan. I thought he stole the show. I thought he was a
good duet.
That's where my eyes were.
You're trolling me.
That's where my eyes were. Jelly Roll killed it.
Well, he looks like an interesting music star.
He's
and
very
then he
popular.
Starts singing, and I think our guy Eric could outsing him.
No,
I think it is the backstory and his musical
nickname.
Abilities overall. Maybe he could be a songwriter.
Got a great name.
Yeah,
it is a good name. I mean, dude can't sing, bro.
I don't know. I'm going to defend Jelly Roll on this one. I wasn't really that in tune.
Not
with the
food, the actual performance.
Maybe the acoustics were off because it was in a stadium and all that.
That might be a good shout.
Blame the acoustics. So what, maybe the sun was in his eyes.
I mean, I was like, I've been seeing this guy on ads and interviews for like the last 3 months.
Did you like him before?
I was getting set for it to be like that I Lose Control type of singer.
That's you Teddy know, that Swims.
Dude, okay, Teddy Swims, he is unbelievable.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This Jelly Roll, man. I don't know. I don't get it.
He's not doing it for you.
Understandable.
No, I mean, the ability to hold a note, I did not detect that. So what are you guys thinking about the product on the football field? Is this one more win?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean,
you will lose to the Eagles.
Yeah, you're going to play Carolina. Unfortunately, the Cowboys...
Carolina looks good right now.
Carolina's trying hard to win games.
Bryce Young looks like a legit little size quarterback right now.
I honestly made the prediction they were going to lose the other night to the Giants because I thought they were going to get a little too high on their horses, think they are a good football team. Drew Locke and company is going to come in, set the Cowboys straight. Obviously, that did not happen. So I really don't know what to think about this Cowboys team right now. They're kind of so up and down. Obviously, the players aren't trying to tank. But, like, they show us moments. I'll say this. The defense has shown us they're legit. They're at least average. They're not, like, the worst defense we've ever seen. But, I mean, even against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders outside of that final couple minutes, the defense of Mike Zimmer is coming more together. The offense has still been hard to watch.
So here's my question to you guys. Are they really any different than last year if we really look at it? Like, they're going to beat the teams they should, and they're going to lose to the teams – that they should.
Yeah, but they didn't beat the Saints.
Well, they haven't beaten some of the teams.
Let's call it.
They didn't beat the Falcons. All the teams that you picked that game when you went win-loss, they didn't beat any of those teams.
Well, not now, right? I mean, now that they're in kind of this little, you know, rebirth of finding a couple wins. But, I mean, if we look at the next 5 weeks, all right, you know, like you said, they're probably not going to beat the Bengals because they just can't keep up with them. Eagles look like a juggernaut right now. And then, what, Carolina and
Tampa Bay
and Commanders. Yeah. The Commanders might be fighting for a spot, too.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. I mean, look, they're probably going to go 1-4. And I guess my question for y'all would be this. Does Cooper Rush finally let loose? I mean, why not?
No, he won't. They won't.
I think Cooper Rush is what he is.
I'd say, look, see that second half tape from the Falcons? Is there any way you could replicate like a series of that?
Or just chunk it down the field?
Just chunk it down the field. Let's go. 5.4 yards.
Here we go.
Why not?
Yeah. I think he's doing that, like, what, once a quarter?
Yeah. He's good for
it. No, he's doing it when Mingo's triple covered.
Mingo's got 17 people hanging on him, then he'll throw him the ball. Otherwise, if he's wide open, forget about it.
Are the Mavs looking like the contender we thought they were before that first 10 games?
Oh, that's all. You're on it with the questions right now, Gavin. I love how you're making my mind think. The Mavs are definitely trending towards the team we thought they would be. We're just hoping that Luka can ingratiate himself into this new look. And what we saw the other night against Portland was a positive sign of seeing MVP Luka back. So I personally think they're still a top three, top four team. It was had to be when Kyrie, when Luka, when Lively, when everybody's healthy, how it works. But I think you're seeing the role players, Grimes, PJ, Najee, you can depend on those guys more than you could like a Derrick Jones Jr., a Josh Green, a Tim Hardaway of last year. So if you're a Mavs fan, you got to go to sleep pretty happy at night.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I wonder though if you can speed up Luka and still get the best efficiency out of him that you do.
I mean, he said he saw what the team was playing. Like, he was asked about it after the first game. What did you see from the team while you weren't there? And he goes, I saw the pace. I saw how these guys were playing. And I think you're going to see more of this kind of off-ball, low-usage Luka. It'll just be how well is the team able to adapt and get wins and do it. And the defense has quietly been kind of a bad problem with Lively being out, which is understandable how good of a defender he is. But letting the Blazers score 131 is not something you want to do against a team that's bottom five in offensive rating. You want to definitely hold a team better than that. Spencer Dinwiddie, a little bit of liability on the defensive end. So, you know, the numbers look great as far as winning games, but there's still some things they have to clean up. And I think when they get their full Avengers back, mainly Derek Lively, I think hopefully those things will clean up.
I mean, you get Lively in there, the rim protection, but then the rebounding. Like, his ability to go up significantly higher than anybody on the court and get the rebounds, you know, well above anybody else's hands, I just think makes this team so much more solid, especially late in games when folks are crashing the glass.
I have one qualm that I'd love to ask all of y'all. Maxi Kleber, is he on this team after the trade deadline?
No.
My vote is no.
No, he's not.
No. Probably not. No, it's good filler. What is that, a $10 million knot? Here comes the Cowboys Hour. Brad Sham and Chauncey Golston, Fan After Dark, coming up at 8 until 11 with Blake and Fred. For Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Wolchuk and Chia Follow and brought us.